Shall we resume? Sorry that took so long, but lots of important things for the board to go over. Okay. The Guadalupe Fund monies, Mr. Thomas?
Yes. This is item number 18, Guadalupe Settlement Fund. We have a recommendation to the board to fund two items, and Allison Jones will be presenting. Okay. And Corrine Huckabee goes first, and then Allison Jones.
Good afternoon. I'm Corrine Huckabee with the Ag Waiver Program, and I have lead responsibilities for the education and outreach component of the program. So we're here today to ask for board approval to utilize Guadalupe funds to fund the additional farm water quality short courses. I'll be speaking about that, and then Allison will talk about the approval to use GWAD funds for food safety and water quality conference. The Farm Water Quality Short Course is a 15 short course conducted by the University of California Cooperative Extension. I'll briefly just go over the requirements of the Ag Waiver Program. Growers are required to enroll in the program. They're required to choose a monitoring option, complete 15 hours of water quality education, and implement management practices that they have identified in their farm plan. In September 2004, the board approved Guadalupe funds for a contract with UC Cooperative Extension to conduct farm water quality short courses in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. UC Cooperative Extension has fulfilled that contract. They've conducted 14 classes and have educated over 600 growers. But we still need more education. We have estimated over 300 growers in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties that still need 15 hours of education. In addition to that, UC Cooperative Extension has identified growers who have taken portions of the 15 hours that have some makeup sessions that need to be completed. And they've been getting calls from growers who are very interested in this course and would like to see more classes put on, and they've started to develop a waiting list for those growers. So what we would like for the board to do is to allow for us to amend the existing contract by adding an additional $29,860 to the existing contract so that UC Cooperative Extension can conduct six additional 15-hour classes in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And so that's the conclusion for the Farm Water Quality Short Course, and then Allison's going to talk about the Food Safety and Water Quality Conference.
Before you start, Allison, I want to point out to the board that you do have a supplemental sheet on this item, and Allison will be summarizing that.
It looks like the price then has come down to $10,000.
Yes.
Good.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. My name is Allison Jones. I'm the lead staff on the Conditional Ag Waiver Program. Sorry, I'm going to talk into this a little better. This request for funding is part of a really critical issue for the Ag Waiver Program in general and water quality in the region. As we've discussed at earlier board meetings, the recent E. coli outbreaks and spinach and past outbreaks in leafy greens have put a lot of pressure on the industry to develop mandatory food safety practices. And in the past, there were voluntary practices and guidelines that have been developed and primarily by the industry, but also by buyers and third-party auditors. And even before this most recent outbreak, we were concerned that some of the auditors and some of the practices were being interpreted as requiring removal of vegetation and wildlife habitat in the vicinity of crops. And so under the Ag Waiver, we encourage growers are required to implement management practices. We don't identify a mandated list of specific practices, but it's well known that vegetated practices such as filter strips and buffers and riparian areas are very effective at filtering pollutants. So we're quite concerned that that these food safety guidelines could undermine all the progress that's been made in the region on implementing water quality effective practices. So Recently, the industry has begun a process of developing these mandatory food safety guidelines, and so we have. There's an urgent need, I think, at this point for experts in the field of food safety and water quality to have dialogue on these, how to integrate these practices, and that really hasn't happened to date. There's some discussion going on now that I'll talk about in the next item, but this conference is really an attempt to bring together the expertise on both areas and try to find ways to integrate water quality and food safety protection. The conference was actually part of a proposal to EPA that they put together before the most recent outbreak, sponsored by UC Cooperative Extension and the Western Institute for Food Safety and Security. They put together a proposal to EPA. It was not funded, although it was ranked very highly, and so they began a search for other funding sources to continue the conference, because many of us were very supportive of the idea, felt that it was very important for the conference to go forward. The main goal or outcome of the conference is really to develop integrated practices, to allow discussion, to identify areas where more research is needed, but to get these experts in the various fields together to develop the most integrated practices. So that's what we feel is the benefit of the conference, the exchange of information, ideas, and development ultimately of practices that can protect both food safety and public health. As I said, the UC Cooperative Extension was working to find funding for the program, for the conference. CDFA, California Department of Food and Ag, had already committed $20,000 when we put together the earlier staff report. Now, the supplemental sheet just brings you up to date on other funding that they found to date. So they have found additional funding from USDA and from US EPA and also from the State Water Board. So we've lowered the amount requested, but what this additional funding has done is allowed them to really restore the original budget, because what we got, that proposal that I gave to you was about a $40,000 proposal. It was really a bare-bones budget to just keep the conference, make sure that it would happen if they just got that much money. So the additional money that they found then allows them to restore some of the things that they were going to put in the original conference proposal, such as funding for the conference speakers, funding for the facility rental food, and then additional funding for a facilitator for the conference and for moderator training. I think this is really important because it's a short conference, 2.5 days, and you've got a lot to get done, a lot of ideas, and a facilitator can really make that move along and have a better outcome. So I think that's a critical part of it. So what the Guadalupe funds would do, offset some of the local personnel costs, lower the cost to the participants. From originally they were proposing $300 per person for the attendees, it'll lower it to $140, and then provide additional funding for facilitation and moderator training. So in conclusion, the recommendation would be that $39,860 of the Guadalupe funds be allocated to two different projects, $29,862 to UC Cooperative Extension for the 6 additional farm water quality classes, and then a $10,000 to it's a non-overhead fund specifically set aside for the conference to promote coordinated management of water quality and food safety. And I would just add that the conference is scheduled to go forward. The venue has been secured, and it's scheduled for April 23rd through 25th.
Are you inviting Department of Food and Ag to participate?
Are they invited to participate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Question?
Yes.
So are you still looking at April 23rd?
Yes.
To the 25th, the date?
Yes.
Has this been announced already? Has this been out for a while, the conference? In other words, have people been invited?
Not yet. We're still working on the invitation list. I think that's going to be finalized next week. Is that right? Mary Bianchi, who's one of the principals, the conference is here to answer any other questions.
It's a little late. It's you know, you're 2 months plus before a conference that you want 130 people to attend. And even if you have, you know, I'm just thinking about in terms of scholarly presentations or scientific presentations, we usually have a longer lag time or a longer lead time, I should say. So,
right.
Are you expecting original work to be presented or all that stuff? Anyway. Shoot.
I'll try to answer that. I'm Mary Bianchi. I'm a horticulture farm advisor with UC Cooperative Extension in San Luis Obispo County, and the co-principal investigator on this project. And we have already invited the speakers. We went ahead and did that actually last fall. It was a requirement of the EPA proposal that we have all of our speakers identified and their topics identified. So we have held and been in contact with all of the speakers to make sure that they can still attend and are still able to address the topics included in the conference. Part of the problem with this issue is that there is no coordinated research addressing food safety and water quality. So much of the work that is going to be presented is probably a little bit off of the mark of what really needs to be done, and we understand that. And most of the speakers are aware of that as well. They're bringing the work that their current work, whether it be in the habit of thought of food safety or the habit of thought of water quality, they're bringing the work that they do have to share. And the principal outcome of the conference is to identify those lines of research that the coordinated lines of research that need to occur. So,
right, that's very much needed. Yeah, and who are you expecting will attend and from where?
The speakers are from throughout the United States, Food and Drug Administration, USDA, CSREES, and then those folks who have been most involved in California. The folks who we hope to have attend are going to be split up into fairly even groups of those individuals who are in research in water quality and research in food safety. We also realize that some of the policymakers need to be there as well.
Can we be there, Lori? It's not a there's no ex-party kind of problem?
No, there's nothing pending, and it's a publicly noticed seminar or publicly advertised seminar, so there's no problem.
Do we have to keep our mouths shut?
No. No. If there's going to be five or more board members going, I'd like to send out a notice. I don't think it's required because you can go to a public meeting that someone else puts on.
Okay.
But it just looks better to send out a notice.
Would you send invitations to the board members?
Only if you can bring something to the table. And I say that very bluntly because...
Excuse me?
Yes, I know. And a lot of people have said that. This is an interesting conference in that it is by invitation only. There is a short period of time to make a real difference in what's in the context of coordinated management. And so therefore the 130 people who attend this conference need to be able to bring substantial information to the table. The conference is by invitation only. It's not a publicly...
But you just said that you wanted policymakers there.
We do want policymakers there who have the potential to help coordinate the management of these two issues. So...
I just find it a little odd that you're here asking a regional board that is...
Yes.
Potentially going to be that is the first in the state to have issued an ag waiver. Mm-hmm. That is the region that has the leafy greens issue in it. Mm-hmm. That has policymakers in its membership that are potentially eventually going to be doing something with this issue.
Right.
And you don't think that we're bringing something to the table? I mean, it's a little off-putting.
Yeah, well, I think CDFA felt the same way, so did US EPA, so did USDA CSREES when we talked to them about funding this conference. So my intent here is not to annoy you. My intent is to craft a conference in which a very significant product gets developed. And it has less to do with current policy decisions that are being made than it has to do with the line of research that needs to occur over the long term that will begin to fully address the coordinated management of these two programs.
Is it your opinion that all that coordinated research that you're talking about is entirely ecological or physical science, natural or physical science research?
I don't think we know at this point the components that need to be addressed in the conference. That's part of what we're trying to do, is to bring as wide a group of technical expertise to the table as we can. And so my concern, and has been the concern of the 23 different groups that have put this conference together, is do we create a conference that's a policy discussion in the realm where policy discussions are happening all around us? Let me finish. Or do we try to craft it towards a research base? Now, if you, in your role, can bring those two characteristics to the table, and I understand that you probably can, then we would love to have you there.
Well, suggesting is that I understand the goal is to produce research or to produce a research agenda.
Right.
And what I'm suggesting is that a policymaking membership might help craft a more interdisciplinary research agenda than you might get if you were just having agronomists and hydrologists, ecologists, and food scientists
mm-hmm.
there. If you had economists and policy analysts, they would probably suggest lines of research that would, coupled with the natural scientists, would help you do research that could be used by policymakers more effectively,
mm-hmm.
which is what that kind of interdisciplinary work does. So, anyway.
I agree.
Mary, can you just invite Dr. Press?
I will certainly suggest that to the committee who's putting together the invitation list.
I don't know. Now, maybe Dr. Hunter, do you want to go also, or is... I don't want...
Well...
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, you know, from the social science perspective and the issues that that develop around, you know, lack of consideration, not because it's not a priority, but it tends to be come up in other ways. So
I
really enjoy attending.
I agree.
And I hope to be useful to the conversation and identify...
130 people is... not a lot of people when you begin to look at this issue, and so it's a difficult task that the committee has taken on to put together an invitation list that meets all of these criteria, and we have thought about it. So I will forward your names to the committee.
Thank you, and I agree with you that, you know, this is the kind of effort that can help to identify the options and changes that can occur, but it needs to be a really focused effort to do that, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Bowker.
Do you intend to publish the proceedings?
Yes, we do, and EPA has identified that that is the portion of the project that they are very interested in taking on, is publication of the proceedings. The other outcomes include, and this is one task that we are going to give to the individuals who attend the conference, is to take this issue framed completely, hopefully, by the conference to their individual professional societies for symposia in the future. So, and that's already occurred with some of the food safety groups. In other words, just the efforts of framing the proposal for the conference created a symposia at one of the food safety conferences in Alberta, Canada this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way that we hope to get this issue out to and extend the process that needs to occur to other professional societies and organizations.
But
so we will be publishing
and those proceedings that are published will be available to the public?
Yes, they'd be online. We hope through most of our partner organizations.
Well, I'm concerned with people who have a interest that are not members of your partner organizations.
We will be posting them on University of California websites. They'll be posted at US EPA, for download. They would be available if the board so desires to post it on your website.
I would request that when the URL is up, that we, the board members and staff, are informed of when it's available.
Okay, Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. Who are the speakers that you've invited?
The list.
Do I have that, Allison?
It should be in the conference plan.
Oh, it is?
Right.
I missed that.
Some of the folks that you probably would recognize already, Daniel Mountjoy, Trevor Suslow, and Tim Hartz are going to be looking at vegetable protection practices for what we already know. Dr. Linda Harris is a food safety specialist and the co-PI on this project with Western Institute for Food Safety and Security. She's going to be talking about food safety issues. Devin Zagary is a member of one of the third-party certification programs, and he is going to be speaking about that. I think it is in your agenda. Bob Buchanan and Robert Mandrell have been invited. Rob Atwell is one of our University of California veterinarians. We'll be talking a little bit about some of that quote-unquote animal thing.
Which were the water quality folks?
We've invited Chris Rose from your staff to be talking about some of the investigations that have occurred. I hope that he can come. It turns out there's a bit of a conflict with the leadership program.
Are there other water quality folks going to be speaking?
I'm quickly looking through here.
It's water quality and food safety. So I heard a bunch of food safety folks.
Yeah, there are a lot of agro people.
I didn't hear any water quality folks.
Well, we kind of look at it that the people that promote conservation practices, such as Daniel Mountjoy, we have the component with the actual water quality, but then the other piece of that, on that side of the issue, if you will, is conservation practices. So Daniel Mountjoy, for example, NRCS is very involved in conservation practices. So that part will be covered as well.
Yeah. I see Chris Rose listed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He might not make it, is what she was saying.
Oh, is that? Okay. Sorry, I missed that.
You don't have any social scientists on your speakers?
David Krohn is with the Environmental Sciences Department at UC Riverside, and he's been on our coordinating committee. And part of what David is very interested in doing and part of the cost for the facilitation is actually looking at pre-meeting evaluation of attitudes about food safety and water quality on the part of the participants, and then a post-conference evaluation to see whether or not the content of the conference changed the habits of thought of the individuals who attended. And so the social science part of this is built into the facilitation and moderation of the process that we're undertaking with the conference as a whole. It's not directly taught, with the exception of the very first section of the conference where we hope to have a representative of one of the food safety advocacy groups talk about the impacts of food safety. We have not built a social science component into it other than an evaluation component.
Daniel Mountjoy is also a social scientist.
Well,
I mean, that's the thrust of his work has been in looking at community ag culture, stewardship and culture and so forth. So I think he brings that perspective. It's not the thrust of his role here, I see, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of the really... One little comment. Part of the really interesting thing is an extension person. We started working on this conference about 18 months ago. And when we first put the conference committee together, it was the first time that the Department of Health Services had ever thought about water quality. And in some cases, it was the first time that the water quality folks had ever thought about food safety. So the process of developing this conference alone has been an educational experience for the 23 member groups of the consortium. That same kind of process needs to occur throughout the conference. And part of the way, if you look at the way that the conference is structured, part of what we want to try to do with individuals is to put them in a scenario in the field where they have to look at what's going on with a given management practice and leafy green vegetable field and try to figure out how to resolve that particular
problem. Well, and that sort of thing is what social scientists are good at. And
That's right.
So, you're trying to bring different research communities together, and I'm suggesting that if you're really talking about something that is going to have problem-solving implications, maybe expanding your intellectual scope larger. You're probably not going to do it because you've got your people lined up and so on, but just for the record, that's how I would do it. Of course, I'm telling you this as an environmental studies program chair who runs an interdisciplinary program, and we think that's an effective way to go. One of our PhD graduates is one of your speakers, Marcos Huertos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have a particular orientation that is based on experience and think that you would be more effective if you did it that way.
And I agree with you, and I think it's also effective to allow these two research communities to realize that on their own. And that's part of the process that we hope to have them embrace, because they're the ones that are going to have to pull in those interdisciplinary research efforts in the long run. So.
Okay. Mr. Hayashi?
This, as I see, this is request for funding has two segments.
Yes.
The first one is for the farm water quality control, and that I understand the nexus there, but I'm having a hard time finding the nexus between the Guadalupe settlement and this safety food safety conference. I need a little help here.
We did address it through the in the staff report, but there are obviously growers of vegetables down in the Santa Maria area, which is sort of the geographic nexus. The conference is taking place in San Luis Obispo, so again, there's some geographic nexus there. Leveraging funds, these funds are leveraged by a lot of additional funds. Beneficial use protection. I think the nexus is there. I don't know if you're looking particularly for the geographical.
No, I'm looking how water. It says water quality and food safety. I mean, we're on the discharge side of the water quality.
I think the nexus is that if these things don't get coordinated, I think that we do stand to have some severe water quality impacts down the road, because growers are really being put in a difficult situation now.
This is a pretty broad subject. But I have to kind of echo the feeling from Dr. Press that maybe there's one little input not being recognized here.
Which one?
The social science part of it. I mean, if we're going to reach, we have to reach all the way. I mean, but that's just my own opinion.
Yeah.
Well, it's not to say that
it
I want
to. Sounds like it's kind of late now, considering where they are in the planning and they have a date
it's not
and everything.
I'm not saying that I'm not going to approve this. I'm just asking the question.
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. Who decided the 130? Who decided who got invited?
We worked backwards from three buses. When we originally submitted this proposal to EPA, we were looking purely at the issue of vegetative management practices, which seemed to be under some question by third-party auditors. So the original focus of the conference was to look at three of the main types of vegetative management practices.
Mm-hmm.
To have groups of both food safety and water quality experts visit each of those three practices, which means that you can get 45 people on a bus, three buses, take those people out, let them try to figure it out, and that's essentially how we came. And then with 20 speakers, that's how we arrived at 100
people. I don't have a problem with the number.
Oh, okay.
Who decided who got to be one of those 130 people?
Actually, there's a committee
Okay. And who's the committee? Are they from some groups?
They are from a cross-section of groups. Bridget Dabrowski, I think Allison is on the committee. Gosh, I should have brought that list with me. Trevor Suslow is on the committee. He's a food safety a person in the veg crops department. I sit on the committee just as a
that's mainly what I wanted to
do. And all the entire committee has been asked to suggest, the entire 23-member committee has been asked to suggest people.
Okay, thanks. And I just wanted to ask Allison, do you think that the speakers are fairly balanced, I mean, between water quality and food safety?
I do. I'm not familiar with all the speakers on the food safety side, but you know, Mark Los Fuertes has been heavily involved in the ag monitoring and practices. Daniel Mountjoy is very familiar with those issues. So when I looked at it, it seemed to me that it was pretty balanced.
Okay, great.
Okay, we have a recommendation before us, which is stated on page 4 of the staff report. We have a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
In fact,
the recommendation actually isn't on page 4 of the staff report because it changed in the supplemental sheet.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a recommendation on page 1 of the supplemental, but it doesn't address. It only addresses one part of.
Well, the recommendation is $10,000 for the food safety conference and. 4,000.
Could you make that a water quality food safety conference? thanks.
29,860.
Let me just read this.
Yep.
Okay. The request is for the board to approve two separate disbursements from the Guadalupe Fund, an amount of $29,860 for 6 additional farm water quality planning short courses to be offered in Southern San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And $10,000 for a conference to promote coordinated management of water quality and food safety in vegetable crops.
Okay. Then I'll move those two appropriations.
Okay, do we have a second?
Can I speak to the motion?
Yeah, do we need a second first?
Second Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you explain to me again on the $10,000? Some of it was going to cut, they were like, to cut the cost to the individual people who were going?
Right, just to lower the conference costs. So by offsetting some of the personnel costs.
Oh, no, okay. So going from 300 to 140, that.
Correct.
You were going to charge each person 300, or that's what it was going to cost you?
That's what was going to be charged originally on the bare bones budget, the smaller budget. And the extra funds allow them to lower the costs.
The pricey conference.
Huh?
The pricey conference.
Yeah, I know. Are these, I don't, never mind. Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Okay, we have any other discussion on the motion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, unanimously passes. Wasn't quite sure that was going to happen for a moment.
Mr. Chair, can I ask Allison a question? Since this is kind of a makeup for the southern region, what's going to happen up here north?
On the short courses?
Yes.
They
have the same.
There were more classes that had been offered because they started the classes up here. So the northern part actually got quite a few more classes offered. There was more funding
everybody.
Up north. It seems. I mean, I think there are still people out there that need education, but they weren't able to fill all the classes, and so we just feel like the northern part's been pretty well covered.
Thank you.
More question? Quickly. Language courses. I know you have one proposed for this round in Spanish.
Yes.
And I know in the past we talked a little bit about other languages, Asian and possibly some further south of Mexico.
Well, we got as far as Chinese.
Okay.
There is actually a course, sort of a modified course being offered for Chinese speakers in the northern part of the region. It's been going on over several months, so they just offered little sort of smaller modules. And so the Chinese growers in the sort of Santa Clara County area are attending that class. we're actually looking into some translating some materials as well.
I think one thing to recognize too is that there is a component of the community out there that is that is illiterate, and there is going to be a challenge to being able to develop curriculum materials for them. There's also going to be a challenge for them in being able to develop a farm plan. So that's something to consider in the next round of the waiver, I guess.
Okay. Any other comments, questions on this agenda item? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. We will hear from Allison on the next one also, right? The food safety, Mr. Thomas.